fact is taking center stage. This is On the Hour.
On the Hour. Such is politics.
It's a painful business.
On the Hour.
What you mustn't do in politics is listen to people.
It's a painful business.
Such is politics.
Ah, the City of London will be skating on thin ice today.
Let's just a minute.
If anybody knows whether he said yes or no to that question, they're cleverer than I am.
On the Hour with Christopher Morris.
Good Eve News. Today's leading items classified and abbreviated into a taster section which serves as a prelude to more detailed elucidation.
The headlines.
Brilliant professor unplugged by careless cleaner, 300-ton flag pulled out of Shepherd, and 7-inch man in catering sabotage.
On the Hour.
Plus, Kenneth Clark reveals details of David Meller and Chris Patton's revised routines in his fundraising nude dance group, the Clarkendales.
One thing that they do both seem to have dropped is opposition to performance tables, which were shocking when we first proposed them, but now they've discovered they're rather popular.
And in our regular opinion feature, It's Your Mouth, you, the public, voice up on gestures.
Do you see gestures getting out of control?
Yes, I do.
Any examples?
Well, it's usually from a council house, isn't it?
What sort of rank of person should supervise gestures?
Bishop.
But first, the news. A High Court trial using the latest genetic techniques has found the defendant's DNA guilty this afternoon. The evidence showed that the nucleic acid, which encodes the body's structure and behaviour, had caused the man to become a robber. Passing sentence, the judge said the man was free to go, but ordered that his DNA should be confiscated and imprisoned in a special cell.
On the Hour.
And earlier today, holidaymakers were terrorised when Jenkins the killer whale escaped from Winsnade Safari Park and ran amok through Tarsden city centre. During a 7-hour rampage, the cetacean menace looted shops, wrecked cars, and shot 14 pedestrians with a tranquilizer gun. The piebald beast was eventually intercepted by a 3-year-old child who simply held up her hand and said, "Enough."
On the Hour. Interesting listening with a newsy stamp.
It's Upgren Pasti Velby. Time for Rosie May with an environment update.
Green news update from me, Rosie May. Shropshire's biggest mushroom is in danger. The mushroom, which is the biggest one in Shropshire, has been growing in a wood there for over 11 weeks. And according to Tim Phillips of Shropshire Mushroom Watch, is in danger of being walked upon or eaten by a wood creature. If you wish to help save Shropshire's biggest mushroom, you can help Tim set up a series of large man and animal traps around the mushroom's nest.
Green desk.
Sit in a pen and save a hen. So says anti-battery farming campaigner Lombard Gnarly of Vancouver, Canada. Recently unemployed Lombard is inviting young girls to come and be chained to him in a cage as a way of highlighting the cruelty of battery farming. Says Lombard, they have to be girls, though, and no one is allowed to watch us in the cage because that's what it's like to be a hen.
Green Desk.
This is Sports Desk. I'm Alan Partridge. Soccer news. Troubled Chelsea have sold star player Clive Allen for £1 million to Chessington World of Adventures. Clive will be kept in his own enclosure near the insect house, where children will be able to see him swing from a tire in a tree, jump through a hoop to catch food from his keeper's hand, and, of course, give displays of the soccer skills that have made him famous. Racing. The winners from yesterday's meeting at Horchester. 3 o'clock, number 5, Pixies, Excuse Me. 4 o'clock, number 3, Cut Me Into, Sago Destiny. 4:30, number 8, Mussolini, Cough Chutney. 5 o'clock, number 4, A Photo Between Cavalry Trouser Tips and Hepatitis B.
On the Hour, the world in a tablet.
And America now, where they say beauty is more than skin deep. A report from CBN's Barbara Wintergreen on the latest look fad to storm the states emerged from the American newsfeed facility we have recently installed in a small room which used to be a cupboard.
They say beauty is only skin deep, but not here at California's San Spirito Institute for Prenatal Beauty Therapy. Expectant Americans are flocking to Dr. Mortimer Marcus and Bill McVitie's Womb Center, and the reason? To give their fetus a facial.
What we're doing is we're grooming babies by getting involved, hands-on in the baby inside the womb, and preparing it for its birth so that it's launched onto the scene rather than simply born.
So what's the process? How do you go about it?
I sort of give Morty orifice access into the womb, whereby he can get in there and kind of via remote control make the baby up. He can do
That's
all.
Right. Once I'm inside the womb, what he can actually do there is I've got all my makeup and my cleaning tools and my pin back implements, and I can just get at the baby's ears and I just go, oh no, we don't like them sticking out. Let's pin them back.
Marcus and McVitie have become interior designers for West Coast mothers, toning up unborn children into the perfect shape and complexion. A series of microsurgical hair transplants also means there'll be no unsightly baldness when Littlin pops out on the big day.
If we can improve the look of our baby while it's still in the fetal stage, then the baby's not going to know. It's going to be much cheaper for him or her when him or her is an adult. The baby will have dark hair, and that hair will be neatly styled.
To avoid extra mess, for an additional $2,000, Curtis and Faraday Schroeder have had a self-cleaning womb installed. According to Faraday, Junior will burst upon the scene like a sparkling new Cadillac.
It's a very minor implant to have that done. It's very, very...
I mean, you can hardly feel it, can you?
Oh, no. I mean, it works like, I don't know if I can say this, like a coil.
And I can hardly feel it at all.
No.
But the Institute's fallopian fashion parades have drawn some criticism. Women's League protester Donna Doubtfire claims that mothers have become desensitized by the craze for cervical sculpting.
If I could get my hands on these men, I would do something very unpleasant to them both.
Like what?
I would hurt them as much as I could. I would probably take in some blood and some umbilical cords and shake it in their faces and say, this is what birth is about, not your clean, newfangled, cosmetic way of desanitizing and deappropriating and facilitating a woman's proper rights to give, to push, to hum, to sing, to love, to laugh, to scream as she wants when she's in pain. That is what we like to do.
People like, they don't like sticky babies. They want babies that are clean, like you see in the commercials. You know, that's what kind of babies people want to see pop out of the holder.
So it looks as if this is one beauty clinic where plastic surgery and placenta go hand in hand. Barbara Wintergreen, CBN News, San Spirito, California.
Now our continuing series, Behind the News, How a Story is Made. This week, newspapers. We take a story which arose during the recent election campaign and chart its path from small undiscovered fact to a burning news issue. April the 2nd, 1992. A leading member of the opposition party is involved in a heated exchange with staff in a hotel bar in Manchester.
Go on, get the fucking drinks now, you understand? But listen, do you want a fucking job in the morning?
The exchange is recorded by a businessman with a dictaphone.
Very clear, it's very fucking clear. Go and get us our drinks now, do you understand?
Friday, April the 3rd, 1992. In Conservative Central Office, the phone is ringing.
Central Office?
Oh, is that Conservative Central
yes,
Office?
Yes, it is.
Could I speak to a campaign manager, please?
Hello, can I help you?
I have an incident to report to you involving a leading member of the opposition party.
Mm-hmm.
Are we on a confidential line?
Yes.
Last night, I witnessed a senior member of the opposition party in a disgraceful outburst in a hotel bar in Manchester. I thought you'd like to know.
Right. Can I just have a word with someone who's senior to me?
Certainly.
Just a moment, please. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I've just spoken to one of my senior colleagues. We wouldn't want to handle a story like that, but you might find that one of the Tory tabloid papers would be interested, either the Mail or the Express.
So you would advise I call the Daily Mail or the Daily Express?
Yeah.
Right.
News desk.
Hello, is that the Daily Mail news desk?
Yes.
I've been advised to call you by Tory Central Office.
Mm-hmm.
I phoned them saying that I wish to report an incident involving a senior member of the Labour Party behaving in a despicable manner.
Well, who can we, you know...
The senior member of the Labour Party.
Neil Kinnock.
Right.
OK.
I've got a tape.
Can you make out what's being said?
I can play you a bit.
OK.
Roselle, you wrote it down. You wrote it down about 20 minutes ago. We should have drinks over here. What are you trying to do? There's an election campaign up, for Christ's sake. I'm trying to... this is the last thing I need.
How much can you offer for a saucy one like this?
About 1,000, perhaps more.
9 p.m. Sunday, April the 5th.
News International, can I help you?
Hello, could I have the Sun News Desk, please?
Certainly.
Hello.
Is that News Desk?
Well, I'm a reporter.
I'll have a story involving a leading member of a political party.
Yeah.
Behaving in a disgraceful fashion in a hotel bar.
And who was it?
Well, I wouldn't be phoning you if it was about the Conservative Party, would I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened?
Well, I have a recording of the incident.
What's he saying?
Wrote it down. You wrote the f***ing thing down on a piece of paper. I'm not going to find it for you. You know what the order is. Go and find it yourself.
We're talking this man blowing his top.
Is he Kinnock with her?
It's not exactly Harry Secombe, is it?
What time of the evening was this?
Oh, 11:30, something like that.
So how did it all start?
I don't know. I turned round to witness the shouting with my ear.
I wonder if anywhere we can get the arrange to collect the tape.
I'd only be prepared to part with the tape if you could pay me for it.
Well, you definitely get paid.
What I want to know is how much can you offer for a Kinnock story of this magnitude?
I have to have a word with my news agency.
Can you go and ask him now, because I'm quite about to go to bed.
Okay, well, can you... you will hold on, will you?
Yeah.
Won't you? Okay, just a sec. Hi.
Hello.
But you've got this on tape, have you?
Some of the exchange is on tape, yes.
Have you got it there? Can you just let me hear a snatch of it?
Okay.
Put the f***ing job down, get us a drink. Do you understand that? You getting my message? Make the name very clear. Put the f***ing job down, get us a drink now, sunshine. Do as you're f***ing told.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I can do. I can send you over a letter signed by me.
What will the letter say?
The letter will guarantee you remuneration of... at the minimum, at the very minimum of £1,000.
Can we make that 1,500?
Yeah, I can do that for you, yeah.
What if I went to the Express or the Mail?
Well, they wouldn't go for it.
Why is that?
Because they operate on a different kind of story. So you're realistically your best and your only chance.
Okay, how do we arrange to pick it up then?
I can send a courier out if you... But you need to let me know where and when.
Okay. If I send the tape by cab to Madame Two Swords and you send the courier, the cabbie will bring back the money to me and the courier will take the tape to you.
Yeah. Okay, what should we say, 1 a.m?
Yeah, 1 a.m.
1 a.m, outside Madame Two Swords.
And you'll get cracking tomorrow?
Yeah.
So
obviously, tomorrow we'll be on the ground in a big way. You know, if we can get a good early start on it tomorrow, I think we can turn it into a great story. We'll be there at 1 o'clock outside Madame Two Swords.
Okay.
I'll speak to you tomorrow. Hello?
Hello there.
Hi, mate.
How's it going?
Well, they're working on it up in Manchester. I mean, can I ask you, I mean, would you be prepared to go on the record about it as a witness?
What could you pay me for going on the record?
Well, I should think that I would bump it up by another 500 at least.
Could you make it 2.5 if I went on the record?
On the record, yes.
Do you have any cash about you at the moment?
No, I don't.
I'd accept 50 quid if you could find 5 people with a tenner in their pocket.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I
you'd have a whip round.
Huh?
Well, it's nice to get a bit, isn't it?
Well, look, what I'm going to do is I can get somebody to come out with some money for you in cash.
Can you create some sort of memento of this event?
Yeah, if you want one, yeah, no problem. What sort of thing did you have in mind?
Could you do me a sort of a framed picture of the newspaper editor?
We haven't got any frame ones, but we can bring you one if you want.
You could do me a picture of him?
Yeah.
You could frame it in a heart shape?
Yeah.
If I went on the record, that's what I'd ask.
Well, I'm sure we can arrange it for you.
In pink?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, it's no problem at all. Sure, we can sort something out on that.
I'd be prepared to go on the record if you would quote exactly what I saw.
Well, yeah. I mean, we wouldn't misquote you in any way, if that's what you mean. I mean, you'd be quoted directly from what you said.
Which was Mr. Kinnock emerging stark naked from his bedroom at 4 a.m. shouting, "Forget Paddy Pants down, I'm Neil Kingcock."
Yeah.
And Neris Hughes disappearing, also stark naked, down the other end of the corridor.
Yeah, if you're wasting my time here.
Bye-bye!
On the Hour leaves the apple to ripen on the bough, then harvests it at tremendous speed.
And there's just time for one of your letters. It says, "Dear Christopher, I listen to your programme every day, and I agree with everything you say before 3:30. Yours, Jeremy Chumfatty, Papua New Guinea." And if you have any letters, do drop us a line to BBC Broadcasting House. In a few moments, the news, but first a look at programmes later on today. And at 8 o'clock this evening, Radio 4 broadcasts the first in a new series, Alastair Cook, live from Central Park.
Good morning. This weekend has reminded me in a distressing way of that weekend in October 1973 when I broadcast a bang up-to-the-minute account of what was happening in the Watergate scandal. By Sunday morning, my story was about as relevant as the Anglo-Saxon Chronicles.
That's Alastair Cook live in Central Park tonight at 8 o'clock on Radio 4. And we have an SOS message. A Mr. Peter Johnson has lost his mouth in the Ladbroke Grove area. It fell out last night when he was coughing. He's been back to look today, but so far has found no trace of it and thinks somebody probably picked it up. If you've come across a mouth lying somewhere in the Ladbroke Grove area, please keep it in a beaker of water and hand it in as soon as possible. And I really do just have a few moments now to let you know about today's weather. It'll start in the... There's the time. Coming up over the near future, an eyewitness account of today's events.
There was a couple of loud bangs, gunshots, and as we describe them, they were sort of like this. Look out! Over there! Hey, get down! Get out of the way! This guy with a gun there! It was a bit like that, you know.
And it's time now to get an overview, an Oberviewen, on things European with Euronews from Eurocaster Jacques Oeuf from France's Radio Wow FM.
Sur l'heure, Euro Nouvelle avec Jacques Oeuf.
Okay, et maxi bonjour, je suis Jacques Oeuf, monsieur l'accélérateur de vie, l'homme avec le doigt sur les légumes. Les nouvelles. Aujourd'hui, Paris Match a publié le grand piukerama du monde. Les photos des personnalités célèbres qui vomirent et se piuquent devant le public. Numéro 1, Ivana Trump, pendant sa visite à Euro Disney. Elle fait la douche-bouche sur le visage souriant de Mickey Mouse. Peut-être le souris ne souriait pas avec des carottes cubiques dans ses yeux. La baffe d'Ivana à Euro Disney. Et j'ai une question. Où est Donald? Numéro 2 est Monsieur Boris Yeltsin sur le Tour Eiffel. Après un déjeuner énorme avec 2 bouteilles de Dom Pérignon, il a fait son gas-assisted pompe d'estomac de l'assommet du Tour et a donné le pebble dash de petits pois à 400 gens en bas. Et numéro 3, les pics spectaculaires du pape Jean-Paul II. D'abord, il fait usage du grand téléphone blanc à la Vatican. Puis, il évoquait son ami Ralph dans le Popmobile et enfin pendant le walkabout dans la place de Saint-Pierre, il s'est barfé sur la tête d'un bébé. Oh mon Dieu! In nomine Patri et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Ha! Men. Oh, le persiflage. Sur l'heure. Horreur nouvelle avec Jacques Oeuf. Ok, malheureusement, on doit dire au revoir. On doit partir. On doit entrer dans le salon du dépanneur.
Maman, papa, qu'est-ce que c'est?
C'est Jacques Oeuf. Oui, c'est Jacques Oeuf.
On the Hour. It's a magazine program with a very broad brief.
Now, have you ever wondered what a news roundup is? It's a brief summary of recent events which sets the context for the issues of today. It acts as a kind of informative backdrop in front of which current happenings are acted out. A news roundup now follows.
Newsarama.
The year began in early January, and in the United States there was trouble for Democratic nominee Bill Clinton as opponents dragged up a series of embarrassing affairs from his future. Detailed documentation of sordid payphone sex encounters forced Mr. Clinton to plead for public understanding. I can't deny that these things will happen, he said, but no one should blame me for the way I will behave. My sense of propriety will have been erased by the constant pain of having to live in the light of today's humiliating revelations.
News dredge.
Meanwhile, in the election at home, the Conservatives won the nation's approval thanks largely to the clear and positive policy statements of David Meller.
We say that there is plenty of
oversight.
And the poor showing of Sinn Féin's Gerry Adams may have been due to a series of dubious broadcasts he made following the lifting of media restrictions.
I saw Willie Devon loves Charlie, and I love him still. It wouldn't matter, little devil, to leave me with a shame. The words that I can say to him is, well done, Charlie, for he.
News match.
April it is, and rock drummer Keith Moon wins £100,000 damages from the Face magazine over an article suggesting he is dead.
100 days a second.
I don't know who drew up these rules, but if that's the rule, it's a very curious one.
Well, rule 4-2.
Back to March, and a few Rory over the rules in the Cricket World Cup, which state that in the event of rain, the side going in second must have their bats shortened in proportion to the number of raindrops falling. In the semi-final, South Africa, already chasing England's total with bats only 6 inches long, were forced to face the last two overs with no bats at all.
Fact trawler.
And finally, who will forget February the 18th, when Channel 4 began covering the cult sport of real football? The medieval game is played between two villages day and night for up to a month until one side kicks the ball into the crypt of their opponent's church. Douglas Hurd was the commentator for a sport in which the absence of rules and unrestricted use of weapons made for compelling viewing.
The two sides are pretty well entrenched, and of course a good deal of blood has flowed. And I just hope that people will get weary of the kind of massacre which we've seen in the last few weeks.
More news past in the programme future, but first, a pause for thought from Monsignor Trebe Lopez.
Jesus is like milk. He may go off in the hot weather, but he will always be back on your doorstep in the morning.
How dare Lord Longford proclaim himself a lord? We all know the Lord Jesus is the only true lord.
Last night I attended a rave at a warehouse in Hereford. There were many young people dressed in cycling shorts and loose-fitting long-sleeved T-shirts. I felt somewhat displaced until a young man took me into a toilet cubicle and sold me a tab of E. Thenceforth I bopped till daybreak in single-minded pursuit of the groove. Jesus didn't dance, but his beat goes on.
Green Desk.
Green news update from me, Rosie May. Meat.
The ongoing depletion in the Earth's natural fruit and vegetable resources might see the emergence of meat as a valuable source of food energy. Dr. Elsie Mayer of Minneapolis Vegetable and Fruit Research Institute says Mother Earth may only yield so many potatoes and parsnips. She isn't a bottomless well. This madness must stop. Comedian Freddie Starr of Reading says he ate some meat once and it was okay.
Green Desk.
Smooth-talking conman Jeremy Fargus was jailed this week for his Eat More, Lose More diet heist. He conned fat people throughout the country with his claims that the more you ate, the thinner you would become, arguing that it was a bit like infinity. If you went far enough one way, you would come out the other side.
Environmental news. If it's green, we'll cover it.
It's 11.030 without the 10. Time now for Alan Partridge with Sports Desk.
This is Alan Partridge with Sports Desk.
Soccer news. Troubled Tottenham Hotspur have been bought outright for £8 million by the South American Republic of San Rico. The team will be trained in martial arts and knife skills to become the private secret police force of evil dictator Dr. Magnera, as well, of course, as giving public displays of the soccer skills that have made them famous.
Sumo. Tokyo's sumo wrestling team are in town this week for a week-long display of sumo wrestling. Earlier today, two of the big fellas, Woomar and Hanum, showed me some of the moves.
I'm in the, I wouldn't call it the ring, but I'm in the,
Doyo.
Yeah, what, sorry?
Doyo. It's called a doyo.
A doyo, right, doyo. That's funny sounding. It's a sort of a circle, and this is where the sumo boys do their stuff. I've got to say, for athletes, with the greatest respect, you're in terrible shape. I mean, you've got fat all over the place, all hanging out here and there. You've got breasts not unlike a lady's, if I may say so.
No, you don't understand the mechanics of this sport. It's very complex.
I may not know the mechanics of the sport, mate, but I know that people who are in trim don't have that much stuff hanging out of the pants, so to speak.
We train, the bigger you are, you see, the easier it is to defeat your opponent because you have more force with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. You're just so fat. Really are quite fat. But I respect your shape. So, all right, let's pretend I'm a sumo. I've got that nappy thing on. I'm in the ring, the circle bit. I come on, I look at you, I say, hey, Woomar, you're a big fatty woman. Big fatty woman with big, you know, you look like a big girl kind of thing. What would you do to me then? If you, if I was to, yeah, well, hang on, listen.
Listen, balls, I can't do you. I can't do you. I've got to do the interview. Hey, is all you... Just loosen it a bit more, vanilla there. Loosen it a bit more. Loosen it a bit more. Please let me go.
Do it. And then a throw.
No!
Then you will be on floor and you are completely submissive to sumo superior.
You've hurt my arm.
And just time to have a look at the headlines in tomorrow's papers. The Guardian stick for the third day running with join the dots and win an apple. Go outside and stay there, roars dying crocodile. That's the Independent. There's a graph there of a roar. Today, have a four-page pull-out feature on Who Goes There Dilemma. And the Norwich Evening Goblet have led with helpful milkman borrows ticket. That's it. I'm Christopher Morris, and an extremely firm evening to you all.